none but glorious. Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you, I'm coming after you, you coward.
Hello everyone and welcome to Broken But Glorious. I'm your host for this evening, three-time pro wrestling author, Oliver Newman. And I'm delighted to be joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. WrestleMania, Nick Davey. How you doing today, Nick?
I was hoping for like 10 nicknames there, like Baron Corbin and David Starr, so I'm a bit disappointed.
Oh, I thought three nicknames was pretty good, to be honest. I'll have to go back to the drawing board.
Next show, increase it by two each time until the end of the year.
So we're here tonight to talk about the Superstar Shake-Up. Chris can't be here. He's really busy at work. Mark tends to join us every once in a while, so it's down to me and you, Nick, the final two. And don't go dying on me now. And yeah, we're here to talk about the Superstar Shake, like I said. So without further ado, this following Superstars move to SmackDown Live in the Superstar Shake-Up. Roman Reigns, Intercontinental Champion Finn Balor, Elias, Bayley, Ember Moon, Kairi Sane from NXT, Lars Sullivan also from NXT, Buddy Murphy from 205 Live, Liv Morgan from Raw, Chad Gable from Raw, Apollo Crews from Raw as well, Mickey James, and Otis and Tucker, the heavy machinery. And the following superstars made the jump to Raw in this year's shake-up. The phenomenal AJ Styles, The Miz, Ricochet, Eric and Ivar, the Raiders of the Lost Ark, I think they're called now. Rey Mysterio and the Usos, Naomi, EC3, Lacey Evans, Eric Young, and Cedric Alexander. I almost said a couple, but they've been moved back. That's Aleister Black's gone back to SmackDown Live. Andrade's gone back to SmackDown Live, and so has Zelina Vega. And at this point, Nick, a little thing for me and you to do. There's Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, and NXT UK. And if we take from now until about halfway through the show to think about any picks that we would have made ourselves that kind of haven't been picked, I think would be good. So maybe three or five picks that you would have added to this, give you some time to think about that. So... Yeah, going back to the news of what's been going on lately, Bray Wyatt has returned in a very creepy children's, what's the word, Nick?
Well, I don't want to say anything I shouldn't say.
He's a children's TV kind of host, isn't he?
And Funhouse.
Yeah, Funhouse. And it's a really interesting gimmick that he's taking on. It was so interesting that it wasn't on the UK Raw. Thankfully, it was on the UK SmackDown. It's on YouTube and it's been one of the biggest hits this week. I think 11th in all of WWE. What do you make of this, Nick?
I think if WWE don't mess it up, I'm just so excited to see where this is going to go. I really am. As I say, the segment, I was watching Raw, I didn't actually see it until it actually popped up on my YouTube on obviously from the official YouTube account. So I missed it. Obviously, it got wiped from Raw. It wasn't on Raw due to some sort of issue. So I didn't see it on TV, but watch it on YouTube. It was fantastic. Really intrigued to see where they're going to go with it. I think this is one of the best repackages I've seen for a long, long time of a superstar. And it's just going to, I'm just really interested in where they're going to go. I'm really even hoping, as far as potentially SummerSlam, Wyatt's in the main event scene.
He is one of your favourite wrestlers, isn't he? So I'm not surprised.
I just think with this segment, it just couldn't make it. Because I think with Wyatt, everyone was towards the end over the last year with his thing about Hardy, it was getting a bit boring, let's face it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just completely revitalised him. It was just such a weird segment. And yeah, I mean, I don't smoke, but I think if you're up all night watching it live, having some sort of drugs or something, I think, yeah, you would be a bit spun out, put it that way. It was just, yeah, completely not what you see every day of the week, but just really intrigued to see where they're going to go from it.
Well, I'm straight edge, so I don't know about the word spun out. But yeah, I could imagine if you were watching this live, and I watched the SmackDown taping that I made, and it was, well, I got put onto it by Chris, I think, on YouTube, and I watched it, and I was like, the one thing I'm thinking is I want him to come out to this funhouse music.
Yeah, I think that's what we're
right. Yeah, that just needs to happen now. As amazing as the Wyatt family music was, he needs to come out to this with a big smile on his face, and then I'm intrigued to see where it goes from there, to be honest. I think that'd be quite cool. Yeah, and it's been announced this week. You're up to date, Nick, on your Raw and SmackDown?
Halfway between, not SmackDown, but Raw.
Okay, I don't know whether I can talk about this then.
I've seen one thing with SmackDown with Becky and Charlotte.
Okay, so you know about defending the two titles.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris put this up on our BBGW Pod Twitter account. Whether Becky will leave with one belt, Becky two belts, or neither. What do you think, Nick?
I think she'll leave with one, and she'll obviously go on either Raw or SmackDown for post Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Which one?
I think it's a tough one, because the way they're building up Lacey Evans at the moment is strong. Or then in that token, do you really allow Charlotte to lose twice? Do you give Charlotte a belt back so that you've got two strong champions? You keep Becky on Raw, because Raw, I think SmackDown have done better in the shake-up in terms of female talent. I think SmackDown have got a stronger one, you'd have to argue.
But the thing is with Charlotte, though, she didn't lose at WrestleMania, so is she really losing twice?
Yeah, good point.
And I completely agree with what you're saying about Lacey Evans. They're building up too strong to, unless it's when she's caught in a submission and it's just a new superstar on the roster just being caught. I can see her winning the Raw women's title, to be honest.
I would personally have Becky win the Raw, keep her out. You can even have Evans and her have another feud for another month or so as mm-hmm. well. But I'd keep Charlotte on. But just due to that, I think SmackDown's got the stronger talent on there now with Bayley. You've got Ember Moon. There's obviously, I know they've obviously got a few tag teams, Oscar, Kairi Sane.
It's the who's who, isn't it, Nick, to be honest? SmackDown Live has really, really got a fantastic women's roster now.
Carmella, I think Nikki Cross are probably more likely to go to SmackDown as well. And then on the Raw, obviously, I know you've still got, well, you've got Raw, you've got, I don't know, Becky, Evans, you've got Natalya, Ruby Riott. So there is still we've still got some stars, don't get me wrong, but I just think SmackDown's a bit stronger at the moment. And I think Becky would just be better on Raw at this present moment. Plus, she hasn't been on Raw theoretically since the draft or contracted to Raw, so to speak.
Yeah, she hasn't been on Raw since, I think, 2015.
Yeah,
because she was the first ever SmackDown Live Women's Champion in 2016.
She was the first one drafted, wasn't she, by...
Yeah,
Shane and Daniel at the time. But no, that's the way I'd go. Personally, I just think for that, I don't think Evans needs to win the belt straight away, because I think she's had a good start. And I don't think there's any harm in them having a rematch. And then she can even win the belt further down the line. I'm not trying to say take the belts completely off Becky, both of them, obviously, so quickly, but that's just the person and where I'd do it for now.
Yeah, no, I completely understand where you're coming from. And to talk about some really sad British wrestling indie news, Kid Lykos of CCK with Chris Brooks, Jonathan Gresham and Travis Banks has had to retire. And I think he was at the show prior to his retirement, was he, Nick? Riptide?
Yeah, he came out. We saw him walk off the stage shaking his head, holding his shoulder. And I mean, everyone around him said, that does no good. He wasn't even set out to obviously continue with the match. It was just a completely walked off sort of thing. So you obviously know then it's serious. But he's had his injury problems for a while. But I think that's just the risk you take in this industry when you are as a high flyer as he is, a great wrestler. Injuries do happen. And I think it's one of those ones, like any sport or entertainment, once you've picked up one injury, it is quite common, obviously, to keep getting in that place. I'm not trying to sound like a doctor or anything, but it's just obviously natural, it's life. And it's a real shame. We just hope that the industry, the indie scene, can keep holding them in some way capacity, because obviously no one likes to see someone retire, they always want them to hang around, and I'm sure you can still add value somewhere along the lines, especially in a few promotions around the country.
Yeah, completely agree with you. I haven't seen Kid Lykos perform. I don't think I've seen a lot of Chris Brooks, but it's always really sad when a fantastic team on the UK indie scene, and obviously a guy who's really young in terms of wrestling's had to retire. I wish him all the best. What do you think of the announcement of Cody versus Dustin at Double or Nothing, Nick?
Yeah, I'm not surprised that Dustin's now in AEW, but I think it's a great, I think it makes sense to get this match done now, given that obviously Dustin will get even older as time goes on, so there's no point doing it, say, 2 years down the line. You might as well, for the first show, brother versus brother, good idea, have a good match. So, no, good idea for now. Just happy they have done it now. That's just, I think down the line would have been a bit of a mess. I think it could even potentially be Dustin's last match as a wrestler. I don't know if he's going to got plans to even continue wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So you could even have it as he build it as his last match, or you could even just say it after the match, it is my last one. Then he can obviously help behind the scenes. That's just the way I do it. But no, glad that it's happened. It's nice also to see that he's on good terms with WWE as well.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you. And just for Chris, he wanted us to talk about Robert Roode's new moustache. Are you a fan, Nick?
As I say, I think with another repackage, as we saw, obviously, of Wyatt, I think this is another good one. I think it's been on the right of the walls for a while that he's going to go back to his hellish days like he was in NXT. Obviously, didn't expect the name, but I've got no complaint. I think it actually makes more sense than it this way. Even more sort of heelish by changing the name from Bobby to Roode. I did like the way that it was, they changed it. The commentators made a big point about calling him Robert Roode. When the Titan shot, it came out of Robert Roode. Then on his name, on the signature, it said Robert Roode. Then underneath, at Bobby Roode on Twitter. I think it's a good idea. I think it was going to happen. I thought he was actually going to attack Gable at one point, but that never happened. So, no.
Yeah, I did think that was going to happen as well, yeah.
I think he could even go as far as the main event scene on Raw. I really do. I think when he was gold in NXT, I thought. What is he, late 30s now? So I think it's a good time to do it. And he's probably got, I reckon at some point this year, we could have seen him in a main event title match with Seth or whoever the champions at the point. But yep. Certainly, it'll certainly do no harm for the mid card as well.
And just to go back to what we were speaking about a second ago about Becky Lynch versus Lacey Evans and Charlotte on the BBGW pod Twitter account, like I said, Chris put it up, and the final results were she'll retain Neva's 2%, just SmackDown 13%, just Raw 36% and both 49%. So the fans believe that she'll still be Becky Two Belts come the end of Money in the Bank.
I suppose I can see where they're coming from. I suppose if they're going to do put them all on the line at the Mania, you might as well make a point out of it by having them hold them for them for a while. But I think, and me, I'm just very set in my ways. I like to have people who are on both shows. I like to have one Raw, one SmackDown, one NXT or what have you. I don't like Grand Talk. That's why I was a bit towards WrestleMania. I was getting a bit annoyed with people showing up here, there, and everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I like a strict match, but like they did in 2016, where they almost didn't even mention each show. They were like courtesy, like they're showing highlights from Raw, SmackDown. I do courtesy of WWE.com.
Yeah, like that. No, that's the way it should be, isn't it? I mean, if you
don't like having Graves on, but Corey Graves. Not nothing against Corey Graves, but I don't think he should be on both shows.
He shouldn't be on both shows. No, I agree. It's great for his paycheck, but no. When he went back to when Eric Bischoff came over and he was in charge of Raw and Paul Heyman was in charge of SmackDown. That's how competitive the two brands should be. And even NXT UK and 205 Live, you shouldn't be mentioning the other shows. But then the problem is with that, it's a public traded company and it's all about money, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
that's just the way I think you should be. That's just me. I mean, I can see why people said two belts because they've invested a lot in Becky Lynch. Why must give up now? But yeah, just for my personal sake, I would I personally prefer it as if it was kept as if she was just on the one show,
yeah,
therefore has to drop one belt.
No, I see where you're coming from. I think that's a fair enough statement to make. Becky's fantastic, so I'm happy that she's on both shows. Happy if she was on one. So yeah, we'll see what happens at Money in the Bank, really. Have you had enough time to think about who you'd move in the superstar shakeup?
Yeah.
Okay, so you want to do three or five?
We'll do. I don't mind because I was going to say. Well, that tag team, they count as one.
Yeah, you can do that. That's fine.
Yeah, we'll do three then. I think unless you've got more, you would like to do five.
I think three.
Yeah, I've got three at the top of my head, so I don't wanna, yeah, I've got three I can already think of. So.
Okay. Considering you're the guest, Nick, I'll let you go first.
Okay, number one, I was going to go for Nakamura. I just feel the SmackDown is kind of a bit boring. Whilst Tim and Rusev together aren't bad, it's not great. I think Nakamura's better than that. But then in the token, I think Rusev's great as well. But I think they're both great single stars. I just feel with Nakamura freshed up a bit on Raw, it could even bring out him as the great wrestler we know he is. So, I'd have personally done Nakamura to Raw.
I hate you for that, Nick. I really do. we'll do it one at a time. I was going to have Nakamura, and because it's been said that he's kind of checked out in terms of his leaving the company when his contract.
Man, he's not.
Is he
not?
Oh, okay. Before you've just said that, he was leaving the company because he's kind of checked out. So I was going to have him on the 205 Live brand because I think he would help build it up again because they lost Ali, they've lost Buddy Murphy, they've lost Cedric Alexander. And just going back to the Superstar Shake-Up, I didn't say this, Samoa Joe, the US champions on Raw as well for a short period of time. Was it SmackDown? One of the brands had both titles on it and they needed to change that. So, yeah, Joe's on Raw. So, yeah, I'd have Nakamura on 205 Live with my first choice. Second choice, Nick.
I think Samoa Joe was supposed to go to Raw on the Superstar Shake-Up. Apparently he was ill.
Yeah.
So, therefore, apparently they had to rewrite the Raw quite a bit, hence why there's been a few changes this week.
Due to a bug,
there was a bug going around, so they had to, as I say, rewrite the Raw. Therefore, a few's been messed around this week. My second one, I was going to say the last one is the one I feel most passionate about. I'm going to have to go for number two. Right, number two, this is going back to what I've done the night after WrestleMania.
Yeah,
Is the Undisputed Era.
Okay.
a couple of reasons. One, I don't like where they're heading with them already on NXT. It seems like they're going for a split, which I think is the complete wrong decision.
As a group, you want them on a stable, as a stable on Raw.
I think there's not enough stables, is there, in WWE? This is a class stable. They're over. They could be over. They could be heels. It can even have the chance to expand. It can have the chance to kick people out, bring people in. So it's got to stay the way it is.
Yeah.
It could even take over WWE. Triple H becomes like the manager, the leader, the voice piece. It's got so much potential, the Undisputed Era, so I just hope it doesn't get wasted.
Yeah.
But I think when I was in reference, when I was in WrestleMania last year.
Took you 21 minutes, Nick.
Well, anywhere you went, it was someone was shouting Cole, and you just hear about God knows how many people shout Baby back, and apparently it was the exact same, even if not better, in New York, New Jersey this year for WrestleMania 35. People who went there,
yeah,
it was the most over one all weekend. That's not just because he had a match at the weekend as well, but just because.
But in terms of that, though, Nick, do you think they'll kick Adam Cole out of the group because he seems to be the most likable to me?
Well, that's the worry, but again, that goes back to my point: you can kick people out, bring people in.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that could happen, and they could potentially even do a new leader, maybe even a heel Matt Riddle, potentially.
Mm.
Just an idea. But yeah. No, it is true, that could happen. But again, I would like to have seen them the night of the sort of Cesaro and Shane's coming out, as much as I love the bar,
yeah.
Which is such the wrong decisions of them coming out and beat down. And interrupt the Seth Cogan match.
Whilst
everyone knew that match was never going to finish, it was just making. So I was just waiting for the Undisputed Era to come out, and I was so upset when it wasn't them. Obviously, it had such an incredible debut on Raw. Night after WrestleMania, all four of them standing over the two beating down champions.
That would have been perfect. I completely agree with you.
I wonder why I care so much. That's why I'll have done them. And in fact, I would have probably done them on Raw as well. You could even jump straight to a Seth Adam Cole feud,
which would have been amazing. So for my second pick, I'd pick Charlotte to be on Raw, just to spice things up. She's been on SmackDown for a short while and stuff. She's in this feud with Becky. I guess with Becky having two belts and still defending both of them at the same time, it'd probably be Charlotte in the main event, well, in the women's match, whether it was Raw or SmackDown anyway. But, I would have moved Charlotte on the brand split to be on the Superstar Shake-Up. And which is your third choice, Nick?
I completely forgot who I was going to say. Well, I've done NXT. The one I really wanted that actually did happen was Buddy Murphy. I'm rewriting. Do you know who you're going to do? It might be better if you go.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah.
Pete Dunne. He had to move, in all honesty. You're not going to hold the UK title longer than you have. If you go to NXT from NXT UK, obviously it's a step up, but it's basically the same kind of brand. So he needed to go to, it's kind of been changed now. It's a bit entertainment, a bit wrestling, isn't it? But the SmackDown brand, I'd say. Pete Dunne needed to be called up. Probably as much as the Undisputed Era, in your opinion. And mine, actually. I just didn't think about it.
That's a good shout. My last one, I would have done this actually. So this actually also affects my one of the matches at NXT Takeover. But I'd have done Shayna Baszler.
Good show.
I had it down to lose NXT Takeover.
Okay.
I had it down to lose NXT Takeover, and obviously that didn't happen. But my original thinking was the night after WrestleMania, Becky comes out, celebrates winning two belts, Rousey and Razor have got history together.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have had Razor come out and said, let's go one-on-one now and beat Becky and take the belt.
Oh, wow.
yeah, that's that was mine.
Should get you behind the scenes in WWE, Nick.
Yeah, well, I see, I'm trying to rewrite that stuff. I thought I'd how WWE should have booked.
I can't say I disagree with you, to be honest.
They're my three. I'd have done, Nakamura, I'd have done the Undisputed Era, and Blazer. I'd say two of them are pre-planned anyway.
Yeah.
Nakamura was just one I did at last minute, like on the day of the draft, I think, it should shake up.
Mm-hmm.
Just simply because the fact that he's, as I say, I think he, he's not going anywhere in WWE, but I still thought Raw would have been a really nice, fresh scene for them.
Yeah. And for anyone who didn't catch what I said, Nakamura to 205 Live, Charlotte to Raw, and Pete Dunne to SmackDown Live.
So this is the leader of the rejected Demon Eye. You are listening to Broken But Glorious.
And yeah, we mentioned about the unfortunate retirement of Kid Lykos at the Riptide show. Nick, is there anything you want to say about that Riptide Rumble you went to?
Yeah, well, so it was a few weeks ago now, so just trying to pick my brains a bit. the opening match was very good. It was Jordan Breaks versus Spike Trelle. Spike Trelle, obviously, the biggest heel at the moment in Riptide. Him, Money versus Everybody. obviously attacking people. Doing what's called the chair thing, where they put an opponent's leg in the chair, jump off the top rope, and basically break the foot in half. It was a match for to get a spot actually in the Rumble itself. And Spike lost. Jordan Breaks, Brighton's own one. Jordan Breaks was a little one, and he's a little talent, very young still, but seems to get better and better every time I watch him at Riptide. And I know he's been on a few dark shows, free shows, I should say, at Progress. So hopefully, yeah, a few things to come. Could be a rest of potentially keep your eye on around the country. Other shouts out tonight. Corey North versus Chris Ridgeway was a really good match as well. Chris Ridgeway won. Really good match. There was a bit of an injury. Well, what I thought was a legit injury on North. But after the match, that was with Spike, Moser, and Shay, the crook ref, all came out. And Spike instructions obviously wants to do the chair thing on Kyron Orr. But Ridgeway, no, was saying, no, we're not having this. We've had a great match. And he was trying to push Moser and Spike away. Sadly, though, they got there. And Ridgeway was trying to help Orr up. They beat him up from behind and kicked. They executed Ridgeway for Money versus Everybody and did the chair thing on Ridgeway. So, yeah, Ridgeway, as you knew, Chris Ridgeway was kicked out of Money versus Everybody. We also did have a tag team match as well, Jimmy Havoc and Paul, Jimmy Griffin, Ginny versus Robinson and Paul Robinson and Chikara. Before the match, though, Ginny was unable to compete, so was replaced by Session Gough, who came out. It's not Session Moth, it is Session Gough who came out. Really funny but serious. One of the matches I really love. I love a funny match that has an element of seriousness to it, or other way around. A serious match has an element of funniness to it. That's my perfect bit for wrestling, I find, especially at indie shows as well. It's really what I do love. Obviously, not saying WrestleMania, the main event of WrestleMania, you want to have a funny, serious match. You want it to be completely serious, but just I really, really enjoy it. But after a really good match, Paul Robinson did win with Chikara. Post-match, though, sadly, it's just happened that obviously we know that it's going to happen at a lot of promotions around the country. All for the good news, but Jimmy Havoc announced that obviously that was his last match at Riptide. Might be around for a while. Obviously, we'll be in AEW, apparently moving to the States as well.
Oh, wow.
Join AEW. So, yeah, huge loss to the scene. It's obviously, since I've been going to indie shows many 4 years ago or so, he's always been one of the main names in all anywhere you go for indie matches. So it's a shame, but it's all for obviously fantastic for him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, he's one of the wrestlers I wrote about in 2007, all the way back then. So yeah, couldn't be more happier for Jimmy Havoc, really.
And I just really hope there's, it's not really much of his kind left. You just love, I know obviously some people criticise wrestling for being too brutal, and it's not wrestling, so to speak.
Yeah.
So
he can do the wrestling, so to speak, though. No, honestly, like I said, I wrote about in my book that he was in a wrestler's wrestling match, and he can do that style. It's just he's known for this hardcore style, which he's done a lot, obviously.
And yeah, I mean, that's right. You're right. He can have the odd, he can do the wrestling show as well. Him and Ospreay's matches will be happy and brutal. They've also had their class spots as well for their class quick roll crews and stuff. So mm-hmm. No, it's. It's a shame, but it's all for the best to him. Then we had the Riptide Championship match between TK Cooper and Chuck Mambo. I don't know who's listening to the show, but if anyone thinks Chuck Mambo's not very good, watch this match, for God's sake. It was incredible. Great match. Two men really just hit it off. I don't know if they're friends, so that does help, and I know good friends outside of the industry, which obviously helps when you've got chemistry like that. But it was just a fantastic match. It was back and forth. It knackered me out watching it. There was top-notch spots. There was kickouts at 1-2. It was a fantastic championship match. It was just both men brilliant. Chuck Mambo did win after the match, obviously, offered his handshake to TK Cooper, which Cooper declined and walked away.
Oh,
pissed off, yeah. Sadly, and we had the Riptide Rumble. That one, I'm not going to go for a full 1-30.
Friends of the show, Sugar Dunkinson was in there. The Rumble.
Yeah, friends of the show, Sugar Dunkinson. The first time I ever seen him, and it was fantastic seeing there. And quite a character.
He came out to Taylor Swift's "Shake It Off," didn't he?
Correct. Yeah. So got the crowd dancing around as well. Quite a few superstars. El Phantasmo was in there. Special shout out to Lord Gideon Gray, who came out and basically tied himself to the corner and said there's no law, then got his phone out and started going on Twitter and what have you, and let us know what the Leicester Newcastle score was. He was having none of it, but then he did poo himself when Big T Justice came out and was attacking everyone in sight and looked down at a Lord Gideon Gray stuck in the corner and then was shouting at the ref to come and get him out. So that was a comedy moment. So lots of serious stuff. Number 30, the big number 30 that really wanted to be my favourite, Dave Benson Phillips.
Hey.
Came out for a humongous pop. Got the regret going. I think a lot of people know what the theme was straight away, but I knew straight away, get your own back theme.
Yeah.
He came out of a sad day, didn't make the ring, got attacked on the stage by TK Cooper, who was annoyed, obviously, about losing the million night.
Yeah.
He came out and beat up Vince Phillips, took his place in the ring, but overall, the winner was Jack Sexsmith, who won.
Yeah.
But the sort of celebration didn't last long. Interrupted by Spike Chevette, who came out and said he wasn't coming out to attack him. Wanted to make a polite business offer to Sexsmith. And he's said he would, after Sexsmith begged Riptide and Chevette for a fight. He's begged him for a fight for God knows how long. Chevette said, "I'll give you what you want." But on July 5th, when they had the next Riptide show, they'll meet, but Jack Sexsmith's title opportunity is on the line.
Oh, okay, much like a Ring of Honor's number one contender trophy kind of thing.
Yeah, well, yeah, because that's what the Rumble was for. It's for the, I imagine it's for the big show they're doing in Brighton, the Bank Holiday, August Bank Holiday weekend, an outside show.
Yeah.
Basically, Trevay said, "I'll finally fight you, but you have to put your title opportunity on the line." And Spike and Jack Sexsmith agreed. So, yeah, the next show you've got Spike versus Jack Sexsmith. Winner faces the champion at the, I'd imagine, at the August, big August show. But, yeah, it could be the final chapter it's going to be going on now for, well, since it started 2017 June. So yeah, it's potentially could be coming to a conclusion on July 5th, or it could even just be another chapter in their incredible feud. So yeah, I need to get my ticket sorted out for that actually. So no, it should be another great show on July 5th.
Fantastic. Considering you said you saw this a number of weeks ago and you wasn't sure if you could recap it.
I think it was one of those ones where you open a match up and you're like, oh, that was good actually. It actually was quite a show. I think I'm still missing out on a few matches, but I think the audience have had enough as a view.
No, he did a fantastic job there, Nick, in all honesty. I think just quickly, Alexa Bliss's moment of bliss on Raw next week is going to say who the Money in the Bank challenges are going to be, both male and female. Any idea who you think she's going to announce just to close the show?
I'll tell you what, I'll go one better. I'll go for who I think is going to win both.
Okay, we can do that instead.
Yeah, I think the male winner will be Drew McIntyre, just can't look past him. And then for the female, I think it will be... I actually would go maybe potentially for... if they don't continue the feud, and if Becky does win, maybe Lacey Evans, but I reckon... Oh, what about? That's the same show. That's a lie. I think the female one, I think you could actually even go for someone like Bayley, who's just split up with, obviously, Sasha. Mm-hmm. Maybe give it to Bayley, and you could even potentially turn a heel, maybe. Mm-hmm. So, it's food for thought anyway, so no, I'll do Bayley for the women's, and then Drew for the men's.
Okay.
So you've also got one on each brand, because I think, am I right, Sam, we all won both last year, so...
couldn't tell you. Too long ago, Nick.
Bliss and Strowman won it last year. Bliss on the night, and then Strowman...
SummerSlam.
He didn't cash in at SummerSlam. So then I think he just challenged Roman to match at Hell in a Cell.
Yeah. Okay, so we're not going to say who's going to compete in it. Drew McIntyre is a great show, actually. I'm thinking Andrade. I think he's the one, you know, you see it in every match that he's competes in. Brilliant with Zelina Vega. You really could push this guy to the moon. And he could be your next Latino star, really. Huge upside to Andrade, sorry. Outsider is probably Ali. I'd like to see him win it, just because obviously his WrestleMania opportunity was taken away from him. And for the women's Money in the Bank, Ruby Riott, I reckon. I think she could have, and she has had some great matches with Becky, and you know, she could do it with, she'll have great matches with anyone in the women's division, which is what she's proven. So yeah, I'm going to go with Ruby Riott for the women's Money in the Bank, and Andrade for the men's Money in the Bank. And that'll bring the show to a close. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. To my guest, Mr. WrestleMania, Mr. Riptide, Mr. Indie Wrestling. There you go. Is that enough for you, Nick?
We'll add more next time.
And myself, Oliver Newman, a three-time pro wrestling author. And yeah, that's it for this evening's edition of the Superstar Shakeup on Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. Good night, everyone. And yeah, if you'd like to keep up to date with us at BBGW Pod, it's BBGW Pod on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Instagram. We have t-shirts and merchandise available on Teespring, which hasn't been mentioned in the longest time. And if you'd like to buy any of my books, they're available on Amazon, or the preferred way of buying them for me is on my Big Cartel, afansperspective.bigcartel.com. Thanks very much for joining us tonight. Bye for now. Bye.